Are wellness programs wearing out their welcome with employers? That's coming up.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. Over the past few years, employer-sponsored wellness programs have been all the rage. Workers have been able to take advantage of benefits such as on-site flu shots, yoga classes, and 24-hour nurse hotlines. But the Wall Street Journal's Rachel Emma Silverman reports that employers are cooling towards certain wellness benefits. Rachel, this was based on a new employer survey of benefits. Who did the survey?
The survey was done by the Society for Human Resource Management, which is the world's largest HR organization. And for the past 20 years, they've been surveying employers about a number of different benefits. And in recent years, over the past 5 to 10 years, wellness benefits were the hot thing and were really increasing. And this year, the researchers behind the survey started to see certain wellness benefits start to either decrease or stay pretty steady. The decrease was what really struck the researchers, though.
Okay, describe some of the benefit offerings that have been cut.
Sure. So some of them are things like on-site flu shots, and that could be in part because vaccinations are now covered by the Affordable Care Act, and so some employers might not think it's worth it to have on-site flu vaccinations. 24-hour nurse lines are another benefit that seems to have decreased in popularity this year. Other ones that have decreased include health and wellness coaching, which is when employers have special health coaches who give employees kind of advice and support and encouragement to reach their health and fitness goals. That has also decreased as well, among a number of other benefits.
Why are fewer employers offering these benefits? Did they find that there was a lower return on investment over time?
So it's still unclear because the survey didn't ask why. The survey just lists a number of benefits and ask whether or not employers are offering this year versus the year before, but the researchers have a number of guesses as to why. And one is that employers for the past decade were really kind of throwing everything into the mix, and now they're really they were trying health coaching, they were trying wearables like Fitbits, they're trying on-site yoga classes, and now they're really trying to take a step back and reassess what is actually working within their employee population. And in some cases, employers are trying to calculate return on investment, with the caveat that that's a very, very difficult thing to calculate for many wellness programs, in part because, it's so hard to really nail down what gets an employee healthy and fit. There's so many factors in the mix. If it were easy, we'd all be healthy and fit, and clearly
that's right.
most of us aren't. So, this is a really tough one to crack. But employers are stepping back and realizing that, some of these programs are expensive, and they're trying to assess whether or not it's really worth it for their population, especially if they can get if their employee can get similar care elsewhere. I think that the big message from the survey is that employers are really just assessing, what wellness programs are working for them.
So it's probably still too early to assess whether or not, demand has fallen for some of these offerings.
Yes, and that's exactly what the researcher said. They said that, they're seeing this year a sort of inflection point that, they are starting to notice a downward trend, not for all wellness programs, but at least for certain programs that have been very popular in the past. But whether or not that trend continues is a little hard to tell. I do think, though, that, there have been a number of studies showing the benefits of wellness programs, but also in recent years there have been studies showing that some wellness programs just, really aren't worth the money. And there's also been some controversy about whether some wellness programs are discriminatory, say, to employees with disabilities. And so, you know, there's some privacy concerns, you know, as employers collect or their vendors collect more and more health data from employees. So all these issues are kind of swirling around, and that might be giving some employers some caution as well.
Not all the arrows are pointed down. The share of employers offering core benefits like health care coverage and retirement accounts, that's remained steady, hasn't it?
Absolutely. And that was a really interesting finding from the survey. So, you know, as I said, they've been measuring these benefits for 20 years. And while certainly the benefits world has changed pretty dramatically in 20 years, the core benefits, like offering health care, offering retirement benefits, those have really stayed steady in recent years. We haven't seen a big downward shift or upward shift in the percentage of employers offering those core benefits, and that's actually pretty remarkable. But certainly within those benefits, the makeup of healthcare coverage has changed pretty dramatically. You know, most of us didn't have like a high deductible health plan 20 years ago, whereas now many employers offer such plans.
And, you know, tied to the cost of healthcare, the number of employers offering health savings accounts, that's risen, right?
Yes, that has risen pretty dramatically as well with the rise of high deductible health plans.
It sounds like results from a survey like this could change over time. For instance, if the demand picks up, they could increase their offerings for some of these same things where the offerings have declined.
Absolutely. And, you know, these things really do fluctuate. Certain benefits become really trendy. In the past year, a benefit that's been really kind of hot is student loan repayment, which just reflects the fact that many, especially younger employees, have, you know, really, really crushing student loans. And so some employers have been actually directly repaying their employees' student loans or a portion of their workers' student loans. And that's been kind of like a hot benefit that's been offered in the past couple of years.
Rachel Emma Silverman of the Wall Street Journal, thank you very much for being on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always such a pleasure.
And that's this edition of Your Money Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm Charlie Turner from the News Desk in New York.
For more podcasts, check us out at wsj.com/podcasts. Become a subscriber on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and now look for us on the Google Play Music app on Android devices.